If you would like to share what the Lord has laid upon my heart, I'm going to ask you to turn over to the book of Mark, and we're going to read some verses from Mark chapter 2. So Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse number 1. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Mark chapter 2, verse number 1. When you got it, say amen. And again, talking about Jesus, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. How many of you love it when Jesus is in the house? And straightway many were gathered to them, or gathered together, insomuch, listen to that, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was carried or borne, the King James says, of four. And when they could not come nigh to him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they broke up the roof. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And Jesus saw their faith, and he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and they, reasoning in their heart, said, Why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? They didn't know who they were dealing with. Hello? But God only. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, Arise and take up your bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up your bed, and go your way to your house. And immediately he arose, and he took up his bed, and he went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, I love this line, we never saw it on this fashion. We ain't never seen anything like this. Hello? Bow your heads. We're going to quit reading right there. Bow your heads and let's pray. And let's ask the Lord for his help and his anointing in ministering the word. Father, we are so very grateful for your love and your mercy and your goodness to each one of us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning in the house of the Lord. Thank you that you have met with us and we have already felt your presence and felt the touch of your Holy Spirit. We come to the reading of your word this morning, Lord, and I would just simply ask that you would use me for your glory, that you would inspire my thoughts, that you would put your word in my mouth, and that you would anoint what comes forth this morning from these lips of clay. I would pray, Father, that you would just give us revelation of your word, and Lord, that you would divinely empower what is spoken. Let it fall upon hearts that are touched of the Lord to hear and to receive. Above everything this morning, I pray that Jesus Christ will be glorified and that those that hear this message or this word, that they will be edified. And Lord, for all of these things, we will be eternally grateful and we ask them now in Jesus' precious name. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. So I want to title my message this morning, Four of a Kind Beat a Full House. Four of a kind beat a full house. If you're sitting here this morning thinking to yourself, Pastor Gary, are you going to teach us how to play Texas Hold'em? I'm not. That's not my intention. However, I will tell you that if you ever find yourself sitting at a poker table with four of a kind do indeed beat a full house. And I know that we probably have some super spiritual Christians that would never even think of playing a game of cards. And for you, all I can say is go fish. Right? It's all good. As I begin this message, the first thing that I want to do this morning is I just want to give you some personal perspective concerning the book of Mark. The book of Mark, in my humble opinion, Mark, of course, is significantly shorter than the other three Gospels. Mark is only 16 chapters. But it is what I would call a power-packed book. Those 16 chapters are filled with a rapid pace delivery of the miracles that Christ performed. If you want to read a powerful, miracle-ridden book, if you will, in a rapid pace, fast-paced kind of way, I would encourage you this morning to read the book of Mark. While the other Gospels, Matthew and Luke and John, they all begin with the genealogy of Jesus. Mark just skips all of that, and he launches in immediately, talking about the supernatural miracles that Jesus performed. Mark focuses on the actions and the miracles of Christ, so much so that I have often referred to the book of Mark as the quote-unquote power book. Mark is loaded with miracles, and in fact, if you begin to read the book of Mark, there's just very little introduction. By verse 1, he opens in verse 1 of chapter 1, and by verse 23, he's talking about the miracles of Jesus. Let me just give you an illustration this morning of what I am talking about. Mark chapter 1, verse 23. He just started in verse 1. And by verse 23, he is telling us about how that Jesus cast out an unclean spirit in the synagogue. In Mark chapter 1, verse 30, he's telling us about how that Jesus was healing Peter's mother-in-law with the fever. Two verses beyond that, in verse 32, amen, the Bible tells us that they brought to him the sick in the evening, and he healed every one of them. Chapter 1, verse 40, we see Jesus cleansing a leper. A leper comes to him and says, "If you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus said, "I will, be thou clean." In Mark chapter 2, verse number 3, we see him healing the man that was on the stretcher, and that is our text today. In chapter 3, verse 1, we see him straightening a withered hand. In chapter 4, verse number 35, we see him saying, "Peace, be still," to the storm, and the storm ceases. And in chapter 5, verse 1, we see him delivering a demonic man who was filled with evil spirits, and he cast out those spirits and sent them into the swine. 24 verses later, he's healing the woman with the issue of blood. 10 verses later, he's raising Jairus' daughter from the dead. In chapter 6, verse 30, he's feeding the multitude with 5 loaves and a few fish. And in chapter 6, in verse number 48, he's walking on water. You hear what I'm saying? Mark is just rapid pace, one right after the other, telling us about the miracles of Jesus. And I could go on and on and on throughout the 16 chapters. We ain't even out of chapter 6, and he's already performed a bunch. You hear what I'm saying? Amen. I could go on and on this morning in just rapid pace, rapid fire fashion. Mark tells us about the miracles of Jesus. If you want to read in short about the miracles of Christ, read the book of Mark. The text that I have been led to this morning, this particular miracle that we find in chapter 2, is one of the earliest miracles in the life of Jesus. It transpires in the city of Capernaum. In fact, after his hometown Nazareth had rejected him, it seems as you read through the Word of God that Jesus chose Capernaum or adopted Capernaum as his second home. It was a city in the northern part of Israel, and that became the, if you will, the northern headquarters for Jesus. Specifically, Simon Peter's house. And if you were to read chapter 1 of the book of Mark, if you were to read chapter 1, you would read how that he was in Capernaum and that he worked miracle after miracle. And by Mark chapter 1 and verse 33, the Bible said, and all of the city had gathered at the door of the house. Amen. People had heard of the miracles of Christ, and they had heard of his word, and they had heard of how that he had performed all of these wonderful things, and the whole city had come to him. Each miracle left them hungry for more. Each miracle left them looking for more. As a matter of fact, it appears, amen, in some ways that at that point in his ministry, the people were more impressed, if you will, with his miracles, and his miracles had eclipsed his message. And you will read how that Jesus took leave of Capernaum and he went into Galilee and to preach there in Galilee. The people had become so impressed with his miracles that they had missed his message, if you will. In this place of frenzy, Jesus withdraws himself from them and he goes into Galilee and he preaches in Galilee. And the Bible doesn't say how long he was gone or how long that he had toured, if you will, through Galilee preaching the word of God. But in our text, he has now returned unto Capernaum. We read in verse number 1 of chapter 2, and when he returned to the house, he's now returned into Capernaum. He's now come back, and without fanfare and without any kind of hoorah, if you will, he didn't make it known abroad that he was back in town. He didn't send out, you know, an email notifying everyone that he would be. He didn't hang up posters in the local post office letting everyone know that he was coming back to town. No, he just slipped back into town. But, amen, it got noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. It got noised abroad that he was in the house, and they were in the house of Simon Peter. He had quietly entered into town, but word got around that he was there. And when the people heard of it, they began to gather once again. They began to flock the house where he was and where he was staying. They began to gather. They began to come around. They began to want to hear the word, and they began to want to see the miracles again. And I can just imagine it in my mind this morning. Imagine, if you will, the scene that must have unfolded. He quietly comes into town, enters into the house without fanfare, without notifying anyone. He goes into the house, but it gets noised abroad that Jesus was here. And they began to come and they began to gather, in so much that the house begins to fill up and it begins to overflow. And it begins to overflow into the courtyard or into the yard of the house. People are gathering because they are hungry to see the manifestation of the Spirit of God. And they are hungry to hear what he would say to them. a crowd begins to gather. The crowd is made up of mostly farmers and fishermen and merchants and those that work the fields and housewives. And the bulk of the crowd was nothing more than just common, hard-working people. But scattered among that crowd were the religious elites of the day. And they were there for two very different reasons. The common people had heard, they had come to hear him speak the word, and they had come to witness the miracles, and they had come to see the manifestation of God's power. But the religious elite had come to check him out. They had come with a different motive in mind. Amen. In the theater of your mind this morning, if you can just picture it, no doubt it was just a simple house. It wasn't a mansion. It wasn't a large home. It was just a simple dwelling place of a fisherman. It packed out rather quickly, I'm sure. They are scattered into the courtyard. The windows are open. Jesus is teaching them and preaching to them. And the Bible said that the crowd was so large that nobody could even get through the door. It was a full house. But remember, four of a kind beat a full house. Hello? They were gathered there. They were gathered in so much, the scripture says, that there was no room to receive them anymore. Keep that scene in your mind this morning. And let me just tell you of some things that were happening behind the scenes. There were four men. I don't know if they had a friend, if they just knew of this individual. I don't know how that they were acquainted with this man, but the Bible says that there was a man that was paralyzed, that was a cripple. He had no way of getting to the meeting. I'm sure that when he heard that Jesus was in the house, there was something down in his heart that said, I'd like to go. Maybe if I could just get to that man, if I could get to him, he could work a miracle in my life. Maybe if I could just find a way to get to the house where Jesus is, maybe the Lord could change my life. And there are four men who arrive at the meeting late, and they are carrying the man, the sick of the palsy. They are carrying the man. The Bible said there is one on each corner. They are carrying his cot, and they are bringing him to the house of God. And these four men, they have come believing and come knowing that if they can just get him into the presence of the Lord, that the Lord was able to change his life. I believe this morning, if we ever get in the presence of the Lord, he will change our hearts. Can you say amen? They get the man to the meeting, and alas, there is no room for them to get him before the Lord. Too many people in the way. Too large of a crowd. Too many people in the way. Too many people. These four men acted in unity, and they displayed four characteristics that this past week that the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart about, because I believe that it would serve us well if we had these same characteristics in our life. I want to minister this morning on that subject, four of a kind beat a full house. These men were four of a kind. Four of a kind. What kind of men were they? Number one, they were four men who had compassion in their hearts. They were four of a kind filled with compassion. They had compassion in their heart for someone who was hurting and someone that was in need. These men showed their compassion by their actions and by carrying the man in need and bringing him to Jesus. Their compassion caused them to care enough to do something about the man's situation. They were moved with compassion, even though they knew that it would cost them something. Even though that they knew it would cost them their time and their effort. Even though they knew that it was cost them their money. How many of you know somebody had to pay for the roof? It would cost them their involvement. It would cost them their involvement. They were going to have to give of themselves and become involved in order to get this man to the Lord. But it was their compassion that compelled them to make an investment in the life of someone that was in need. It was their compassion that compelled them to look past themselves, amen, and risk getting involved. It was their compassion this morning that motivated them to go the extra mile. It was their compassion that motivated them to reach out to the less fortunate and to make a difference in a bad situation. I feel like the Holy Spirit asked me to bring to your attention this morning, when was the last time you allowed your compassion to compel you to make a difference in someone else's life? Amen. Beloved, we as a church, we as the body of Christ, we need to have a compassion in our hearts for those that are hurting and those that are in need and those that are less fortunate and those that need to hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to have compassion upon them and recognize the value of their life. When was the last time we were motivated and our compassion compelled us to get involved and lend a helping hand? When was the last time our compassion motivated us to go the extra mile for someone? One of the biggest problems in the church world today, in my humble estimation, is the fact that we have a lack of compassion. Hello? We have a lack of compassion. The Bible tells us often that when Jesus looked upon the multitudes, the Bible said that he was moved with compassion for them. He was moved with compassion. What caused him to feed the thousands with the five loaves and a few fish? The Bible said that they had been with him a long time, and he looked at them and he knew they were hungry, and he had compassion upon them. Amen. Let me just share with you what I'm saying this morning. When we have a compassionate heart that is true compassion, to a desire to minister to someone else, God can work a miracle through that compassion. He is moved by compassion. We need to have a compassionate heart, and far too many of God's people have a lack of compassion for the hurting and those that are in need. Let me give you a biblical example. If you were to read in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 25, the Bible says that there was a lawyer that stood before Jesus, and he said, "Good master, what shall I do to be saved?" And Jesus said, "You know the commandments. You know the commandments. What? Tell me, what are the greatest commandments?" The lawyer said, "Well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said, "You have answered correctly." And the Bible said, "And the lawyer, willing to be justified." When I grew up, they used to call it willing to be a smart aleck. Said, "And who is my neighbor?" trying to catch Jesus in his words. And instead of launching into a theological discourse, Jesus just told him a very simple little story. He said, there was a certain man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. And the thieves stripped him of his clothing. They robbed him and wounded him and left him naked and bleeding on the side of the road. And Jesus continues his story, and he said, and a priest came down that way. Now understand, when he says, and a priest came down, Jerusalem was above Jericho. The priest would have been coming from the temple, coming from the house of the Lord. And a priest came down that way. The priest was leaving church. And this is what the Bible says. And he saw the man wounded and bleeding, and he decided, instead of getting involved, and decided, instead of, amen, pouring in oil and wine, he just didn't want to be inconvenienced. He had no compassion upon the man, and he passed by on the other side. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to be involved in the situation. Lack of compassion. And he goes happily on his way. And the Bible said, and a Levite came down that way. A Levite. The Levites were in charge of the temple. He's coming from the temple. He came down that way. And again, a lack of compassion. A lack of having a desire, moved with compassion and seeing someone in need. Instead of getting involved, he passed by on the other side. And Jesus said, but a certain Samaritan. Now understand, this was rubbing salt in the wound, because the Jews didn't think too much of the Samaritans. Hello? He said, and a Samaritan came by and saw him. And rather than passing by on the other side and going on his way, the Samaritan decided to get involved. He was moved, Jesus said. He was moved with compassion. He had compassion upon him. And he goes over to him and he pours in oil and wine and he binds up his wounds and he takes him and puts him upon his own animal and takes him on into the city of Jerusalem and carries him to an inn and gives the innkeeper money and said, you take care of him and give him everything that he needs. And when I return, if you have spent anything more than what I've already given you, you can put that on my charge account. I am willing to go above and beyond so that his needs can be ministered to. And Jesus concluded his story by saying, which of these do you think were a neighbor unto the man that fell among the thieves? The lawyer said, He that poured in the oil and the wine, he that ministered to, Jesus said, that's right. Go and do likewise. What I'm saying this morning is we need to have a heart of compassion. We live in a world today that it is so easy to become jaded and jagged against those that are around us. Be careful. I told somebody the other day, I don't know if I should divulge that. I told somebody the other day, you know, you've heard that song, my give a damn's busted. I told somebody the other day, I think mine broke. You know why? Because we live in a jagged world. It's easy to become jaded and hard and calloused. Be careful. God's not given us a jaded, calloused heart. God has given us a heart of love and a heart of mercy. And God has given to us this morning a heart that is tender and a heart that desires to be a help and a desire to be involved in the needs with others. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, these men were four of a kind and they had compassion in their hearts. And if we would have that kind of compassion as an individual, as a body, as the body of Christ, we could do something for God. They were four of a kind filled with compassion. Number two, they were four of a kind filled with conviction. They were four of a kind filled with compassion, and they were four of a kind filled with conviction. These four men truly believed that if they could get Jesus into the presence, or if they could get this man into the presence of Jesus, that Jesus could make a difference in his life. They really, truly believed that if they could get this guy into the presence of the Lord, that God would do something in his life. They were convinced. They were fully persuaded. They were convinced. They had a conviction that Jesus was able to make a difference in this man's life. Beloved, we too must be like these four men and have a conviction and be convinced that if we could get our lost loved ones and those that are around us in the presence of the Lord, that he could make a difference in their life. I submit to you this morning that if we truly were convinced that the Lord could make a difference in the lives of those that are around us, we would put forth a more substantial effort in order to get them in the presence of the Lord. Hello? What I'm saying this morning, amen, is you got to have a conviction that Jesus can make a difference in someone's life. I'm telling you here this morning, amen, what motivates me to preach the gospel, what motivates me, amen, to continue in the ministry is because I am convinced that Christ is the answer. I am convinced that if men and women would make their way to an old-fashioned altar and call upon the name of the Lord and invite Christ into their heart and into their life, he would turn their life around. How do you know that, Pastor Gary? He changed mine. Hallelujah. I'm convinced that there are those that just need Jesus. Somebody said, oh, he is a scoundrel. He just needs the Lord. I was a scoundrel too. Hello? Oh, I'm telling you here this morning, they were convinced that if they could get this man in the presence of the Lord, that Jesus could do something wonderful in their life. In his life. I'll tell you this morning that we need to be just as convinced to get our loved ones and our friends and our family and put forth an effort to get them in the presence of the Lord, because he is the answer this morning. Amen. They were four of a kind filled with cooperation. They were not just convicted in their heart that Christ could do something for this man. They didn't just have a compassion, but they were four of a kind who were filled with cooperation. Four men with a spirit of cooperation to accomplish something for God. They came together and they shared the load of this paralyzed man to get him to Jesus. How many of you know they might have got him there with just three? But it was a whole lot easier to accomplish with four. Hello? I mean, one guy might have threw him over his shoulder and got him there. But it's a whole lot easier when you got somebody else holding up the other side.
They carried him. They carried him. They got on either side, on either corner, and they carried him. And when God saw their cooperation and their devotion and their conviction and their compassion, God worked a miracle in his life. It was because of their corporate faith and because of their joining together that God used them to do something extraordinary. How many of you know that God uses ordinary people in extraordinary ways when we all work together? When I was coming up in Sunday school, we used to sing a little song, "When we all pull together, 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 when we all pull together, how happy we'll be. For your work is my work, and my work is your work. It's easier when we're all pulling the same direction." You hear what I'm saying? It's easier when we're all striving for the same things. It's easier when we are all pulling in the same direction. And that direction needs to be Jesus Christ. Amen. They weren't worried about the big I or a little you. They weren't worried about who was going to get the credit. They weren't worried, amen, about who was going to get recognized. They just wanted to work together to get him to Christ. Amen. I come to tell you this morning, there are no big eyes and no little U's at Elevation Worship Center. It is strictly about Jesus Christ. It is about lifting up and honoring the Lord. It's about walking in the ways of the Lord, and it's about honoring only him and him only. I came to tell you, if we'll work together, strive together for that goal, we'll honor and lift up the name of Christ in the community of Emmett. The hour that we live in demands our unity. The hour that we live in demands that we work together to save those who are lost. Amen. When we all pull together in the same direction, amen, these men were of the same mind, the same heart. They had the same goal in mind. They wanted to get him to the Lord. What motivated that? Their compassion, their conviction. And they were four of a kind that cooperated together and came together in unity, laid aside their own agendas, amen, and worked together for the good of this one that was in need. Number four, they were four of a kind filled with creativity. They had compassion, they had conviction, they were working together in cooperation, and they were four of a kind in creativity. I want you to just notice when they got to the house, there was no way in. Some of us would have just said, well, it looked good on paper. I mean, you know, we might as well just give up, haul him back home. We might as well just turn around. There ain't no way to get him in the house. Nobody, you know, paid attention to, excuse me. No way to get past the crowd. That wasn't these four men. They said, hey, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Fish. I don't want anybody thinking I'm cruel here. Hello. Well, if we can't get him through the door, then let's do something else. What I'm at a bright idea is that I think we ought to go up on the roof and tear the roof off. That must have been quite a discussion. What is Peter going to say? It's Peter's house. What do you think our landlord would say? Hello? So imagine Jesus is in the house. The crowd is around. I mean, it's bursting at the seams. It's spilled out into the yard. They can't get in. They climb the roof, and they begin to tear the roof off. And inside, you could hear the scuffling and the shuffling and the scratching and the scraping and the stuff coming off. I don't know what they made their houses out of. I don't know if they were board and nails or if they were just palm branches. I don't know. Maybe I'm sure the dirt began to fall in. One way or the other. Hello? Dust began to slowly appear and filter down, land on Jesus' feet. Suddenly the sunlight broke through. And people are looking up. You think a baby is a distraction? Wow. Hello? Suddenly the sunlight comes through and people are looking up at blue sky. And all of a sudden, they scoot a cot over the hole. And they begin to lower him down. Begin to bring the man down into the presence of the Lord. And Jesus, seeing all of this transpire, now maybe you know that's pretty creative. That's a pretty creative way to get somebody in the presence of the Lord. Just tear the roof off. And Jesus looks at the man when he gets in his presence and he says, "Son, your sins are forgiven thee." And they look around. And the religious elite say, "Who is this man that blasphemes? Who is this man that blasphemes against God? Because only God can forgive sin." And Jesus, knowing the intent of their hearts, said unto them, "What is easier for me to say, your sins are forgiven, or take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man is not just a healer. But that you may know that the Son of Man is not just a miracle worker." He said to the sick of palsy, "Arise and go your way." And the man immediately picked up his bed and walked. Amen. I want you to just understand this morning that he would have never got into the presence of the Lord if these men had not have been creative. Sometimes we need to be creative in the way that we deliver the message of Jesus. If we can't get folks to come, amen, through the traditional way, if we can't get folks to come through the door, maybe we need to just rip the roof off and bring them to Christ. Maybe we need to go about it in some way, sometimes, some ways, in an unconventional kind of way. Amen. What I'm saying this morning is just because we have always done it one way doesn't mean that another way won't work. Hello? Amen. Just because we've always done it that way doesn't mean that it's the only way. We need to be flexible enough and creative enough to recognize that it's not about how we get them there, it's about getting them there. And these men were creative enough to figure out a way to get him into the presence of the Lord. When we, amen, get into the house of the Lord, and we this morning, amen, get those that are in need into the presence of Christ, amen, they can be changed by his power. And if we spend half as much time, amen, talking about and figuring out a way to make it work, instead of coming up with ideas about why it won't work, we could accomplish something for the Lord. Sometimes desperate situations call for desperate actions. Hello? I mean, you know, that's a pretty desperate thing to rip the roof off. But this man was in a desperate situation. Sometimes when we need a miracle from God, amen, and we need it desperately, we just need to get desperate before God. Desperate enough to tear the roof off, desperate enough to do the unusual, and desperate enough to go the extra mile, and desperate enough to do whatever it takes, amen, to hear from heaven. I'll tell you this morning, the reason why some of us haven't got the answers to the prayers that we have been praying is because we just haven't got desperate enough. Amen. When you get desperate, you'll do desperate things. These men were desperate enough to do the unusual and desperate enough to be creative in order to get him into the presence of the Lord. This morning, I want you to understand that I feel like the Spirit of the Lord has talked to me about sharing with you that we need a compassionate heart, that we need to have a firm conviction that Christ is the answer, and we need to cooperate one with another for a single goal and a single purpose. And God, help us to be creative about it. And when we have these same characteristics in our lives, God can use us in an extraordinary way. That day, four of a kind overcame a full house. Four of a kind overcame a full house. And we need these same elements in our walk with the Lord to be effective in our walk with God. Pastor Gary, how can we be filled with compassion, be filled with the Spirit? How can we be filled with conviction, be filled with the Spirit? How can we be filled with a spirit of unity and cooperation, be filled with the Spirit? How can we be filled with creativity and think outside of the box, be filled with the Spirit? His ways are above our ways, and his thoughts are above our thoughts. He said, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts above yours. God is capable of doing things that we haven't even thought about yet. He's just looking for an opportunity to be creative. He's looking for a heart that's walking in a conviction. He's looking for a heart that's walking with cooperation. He's looking for a heart that's walking in compassion. I want to be that individual. Four of a kind beat a full house. Bow your heads, if you will, please, all over the body here this morning. Bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, in the mighty and awesome name of Jesus, Lord, we are grateful this morning for your word. We are grateful this morning, Heavenly Father, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that we sensed as we ministered this word. My prayer this morning, Heavenly Father, is that you will give us each one hearts of compassion, hearts of conviction, hearts of unity and cooperation, hearts of creativity. There are those that the enemy has spiritually paralyzed in our community. There are those that are spiritually paraplegic in their knowledge of Christ. Help us through your Holy Spirit. Help us to carry our corner effectively, that we may somehow, some way, bring them to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they may recognize that Christ can make a difference, that you may have an opportunity to set them free and make them whole. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to our lives, speak to our hearts this morning. Show us the need to be compassionate. Show us the need, I pray this morning, Lord. Show us the need to be compassionate and caring and convicted and compassion on those that are in need. Speak to us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, take this word to the hearts of these that are here. If we feel like we are coming up short on compassion, conviction, cooperation, creativity, then our prayer, Lord, this morning is fill us with all of those things. that we may play a winning hand for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many are here this morning and you would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I needed to hear this message this morning. God bless hands everywhere. God bless hands. I needed to hear this word this morning. I needed my compassion challenge. I needed my creativity challenge. I needed my cooperation challenge. I needed my conviction challenge. Thank you, Jesus, for hands. Lord, don't let it be a temporary word, but I pray that you will be, that you will allow it to be an ongoing word that's rooted and grounded and takes a hold in their life and brings forth fruit. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will not allow the enemy, as he will endeavor to do, to come in and try to steal the word out of their heart. We see the need. We see the need. Help us to remain in tune with that word, and help us to remain in vision with that word, that it may be fresh and alive in our hearts, that we may endeavor to fulfill it in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet this morning. Come on and sing.